Follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Let the dead bury their dead. It's a fitting battle cry for our times. We live in a culture that, very much like the first reading, is becoming more and more a culture of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's been called by St. John Paul II a culture of death. Now, this should tell us something. It should tell us that we have a very important mission in our country at this time. I'd like to give a brief history of more or less how this has come about. And we can go all the way back 173 years ago, at 1846. Pope Pius IX, condemned a nefarious ideology, if you will, at that time. And he used very strong language in his condemnation. You could almost feel the anger coming through his pen. And he condemned it because he said it would destroy culture. He said it would actually destroy society itself. And of course, he was echoed by Pope Leo XIII and various other popes after them. And he said that it was being spread already in 1846. This nefarious ideology was being spread throughout the world at great cost. At great cost, meaning men, women were being implemented throughout the world to teach, to inculcate this ideology amongst people. It was done at great cost. That means that there was obviously people behind it with great wealth. People of high finance, if you will. It was an atheistic ideology opposed to God and very much opposed to Christian morality. And its goal, it's the same goal that it has today, is to establish a super race without God, men freed, according to this ideology, men freed from the shackles of Christian morality. Men free to be able to use their intellect and will to create every world they like, that they saw fit. This condemned ideology of Pope Pius IX in 1846 was what he called communism. Now, this is very interesting because we think of Karl Marx as the father of communism. But Karl Marx wrote his Communist Manifesto in 1848, 2 years after it was condemned by Pope Pius IX. But the genius of Karl Marx's work was in this, that he took a vague ideology and he transformed it into a concise plan, if you will. And Marx gave to these people the tool they needed to bring about this transformation of culture, to bring about this transformation of society that they wanted so dearly. This tool has been refined for different parts of the world. For some parts, it took the form of a violent revolution. Think of Russia, China, Vietnam, Cambodia, South Korea, or North Korea, excuse me. But for other parts of the world, it took the form of a cultural revolution. And this cultural revolution is the form that it took in our country, in the United States of America. For example, the Communist Party USA was responsible for three particularly very damaging movements: feminism, the homosexual movement, and the anti-Christian movement. Feminism was done, created for the sake to attack women, to make them feel that they were being oppressed, to make them feel that they were being victimized for being wives and mothers. The woman who was responsible for this, and I may be mistaken on her name, I believe it's Betty Friedan, of course, she was never married. She never actually had this experience, and yet she clamored against it. And of course, she was an agitator. We can think of the homosexual movement that was set to redefine marriage, in the anti-Christian movement that first drove prayer out of school, drove the Bible out of the school, took crucifixes out of the schools, took the commandments out of our schools. And the war has always been against the family. And of course, this makes sense, because God in his essence is a family. The church in its essence is a family. The nucleus of the church is, of course, the domestic church, the family. Now, some of you may be thinking, oh, well, this crazy priest, he's, what do you call these theorists? Conspiracy theorist. He's a conspiracy theorist. Well, just 2 points with regard to that. The first point is this. The only question that we really need to ask ourselves is what I said the truth or not? Is it the truth? Is this something that did take place and is still taking place? That's really all that matters. Is it the truth? The second point is that everything that I said is a matter of public record. It's a matter of public knowledge. It can all be verified through the library or through the Library of Congress, through your public library. Everything can be verified. And I'd just like to add a third point to this also, is that the reason why this is important for us to be aware of this is because it lets us know that there is a real spiritual battle going on in the world and in our country. Feminism is a spiritual attack. The homosexual movement is a spiritual attack. The anti-Christian movement is a spiritual attack. It can give us a better understanding of why Jerry and Gwen saw the need for a family apostolate. and why they saw a need for family consecration. But we can also take a look at the true driving force behind history, and that is the power of God. We can take a look at the power of the sacraments and the power of the liturgy. We can go back to Old Testament times, first of all, to see this power unleashed then. For instance, the first Exodus. The Israelites being freed from Egypt was done through a liturgical event. The battle for Jericho was a battle that took place through a liturgical event. The walls came tumbling down because of God's power. In our New Testament times, we have, of course, Jesus. As he said, he overcame the world. Jesus in the upper room with the institution of the Eucharist on Holy Thursday, and with his death on the cross on Good Friday, he combined the power of liturgy, the power of the sacraments, with real life. He combined ritual with life. And he conquered the world for our sakes. We have the power of the sacraments. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the power of God's grace. And your family consecration to Jesus is a powerful means of your daily life being Eucharisticized, if I may take a term from a Dr. John Bergsma. Your lives have this power to be Eucharisticized by the liturgy for the transformation of our culture. Your life is combined with the liturgy in a powerful way through this consecration to Jesus. But your consecration needs to be lived out. And that's the question that I have all for you this morning. You're here on retreat, you're here on for a spiritual renewal as well as for relaxation, but also for a spiritual renewal. And so you can ask yourselves, am I developing my spiritual life, my life of prayer? Am I living a sacramental life? And of course, I'm going from the seven key points of a God-centered family living, the living out of your consecration. Are you learning the faith, deepening your faith? Are you striving to grow in virtue? Are we serving others? And are we, when the opportunity arises, are we sharing the faith? Are we sanctifying our daily lives? Steve Ray gave a very good example of the necessity of building relationships for the sake of sharing the faith. It's not that we can just go up to people and impose the faith upon them, but when people around us need our help, we can lend a helping hand, maybe listen to their problems, develop a relationship, and then as our trust, or as their trust grows in us, then we can reach out to them with the faith, to share the faith. We should let them see that there's something different about us, a peace about us, something that they want in their lives. Our Lady of Fatima said we need constant offerings of prayer and sacrifice. Remember the Fatima message from yesterday, excuse me, the 4 points. Sin, grace, holiness, reparation, consecration. Well, the only way we can make such a constant offering of prayer and sacrifice is by giving that intention to everything we do. In the best way to form and to have this habitual intention is precisely through your consecration to Jesus through Mary with Saint Joseph. Your consecration made and lived out through the seven keys makes your lives Eucharisticized. They make your lives very powerful. They make your lives capable of transforming our culture. And we are in a spiritual battle. I think for most of you, the very reason why you are here is because you have perceived that spiritual battle. Amen.